Encouragement for the Depressed. This sermon was first preached on August 27, 1871, by Charles Haddon Spurgeon. The text today comes from the book of Zechariah, chapter 4, verse 10. Who despises the day of small things? Zechariah was engaged in the building of the temple. When its foundations were laid, it struck everybody as being a very small structure compared with the former glorious building of Solomon. The friends of the enterprise grieved over the fact that it would be so small. The opponents of it rejoiced and uttered strong expressions of contempt. Both friends and foes doubted whether, even on that small scale, the structure would ever be completed. They might lay the foundations, and they might raise the walls a little bit, but they were too feeble a people, possessing too little riches and too little strength to carry out the enterprise. It was the day of small things. Friends trembled, foes jeered. But the prophet rebuked them both, rebuked the unbelief of friends and the contempt of enemies by this question: Who despises the day of small things? Now we shall use this question at this time for the comfort of two sorts of people. First, for weak believers, and secondly, for feeble workers. Our object shall be to strengthen the hands that hang down and to bolster the feeble knees. We will begin, first of all, with weak believers. Let us describe them. It is for them a day of small things. It may be that you have only lately been brought into the family of God. A few months ago, you were a stranger to the divine life and to the things of God. You have been born again, and you have the weakness of an infant. You are not strong yet, as you will be when you have grown in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is an early day for you, and it is also the day of small things. First, we note that now, as a new believer, your knowledge is small. My dear brother, you have not been a student of the Bible for very long. Thank God that you know that you are a sinner and Christ is your Savior. That is precious knowledge. But you feel now what you once would not have confessed, your own ignorance of the things of God. Especially do the deep things of God trouble you. There are some doctrines that are very simple to other believers that appear to you mysterious and even to be depressing to you. They are lofty. You cannot understand them. They are to you what hard food would be to children whose teeth have not yet appeared. Well, do not be at all alarmed about this. All the men in God's family have once been children too. There are some that seem to be born with knowledge, Christians that come to a knowledge of Christ very rapidly. But these are only here and there. Israel did not produce a Samson every day. Most of us have to go through a long period of spiritual infancy and youth. And yes, there are only few in the church, even now, who might be called fathers. Do not marvel, therefore, if you only have a little knowledge. Secondly, your discernment, too, is small. It is possible that anybody with a smooth tongue could lead you into error. You have, however, discernment, if you are a child of God. You have enough discernment sufficient to keep you from deadly errors. For though there are some who would, if it were possible, deceive even the very elect, yet the elect cannot be deceived, for the life of God is in them, and they discern between the precious and the vile. They do not choose the things of the world, but they follow after the things of God. Your discernment, however, even though it seems small, need not trouble you. It is by reason of use, when the senses are exercised, that we fully discern between all that is good and all that is evil. Thank God for a little discernment. Though you see men as trees walking around, for your eyes are only half opened, a little light is better than none at all. It has not been long since you were in total darkness. Now, if there is a glimmer of light, be thankful. For remember, where a glimmer of light can enter, so also the full noonday sun can come shining through. Yes, and it shall come in. It shall come in very brightly in due season. Therefore, do not despise the time of small discernment. Of course, my dear brother and sister, you only have a small experience in the Christian walk. I trust you will not mimic experience and try to talk as if you had the experience of the veteran saint when you are only still a raw recruit. You have not yet done business on the great waters. The more fierce temptations of Satan have not assailed you. The wind has been tempered for the newborn lamb. God has not hung heavy weights on slender threads, but has only put a small burden on the weak back. Be thankful that it is so. Thank Him for the amount of experience that you do have, and do not despond because you do not have more. It will all come in due time. Do not despise the day of small things. It is always unwise to read someone else's biography and say, "Oh, I can't be right, because I have not felt all this good man has felt." If a child of 10 years of age were to take down the diary of his grandfather and were to say, "Because I do not feel my grandfather's weakness, do not require the use of his glasses or lean upon his cane, therefore I am not one of the same family," it would be very foolish reasoning. Your experience will ripen. As yet, it is only natural that it should be green. Wait a while and bless God for what you have. Probably this, however, does not trouble you so much as one other thing. You only have small faith, and that faith being small causes your feelings to vary. I often hear this from young beginners in the divine life. "I was so happy a month ago, but I have now lost that happiness." Now perhaps tomorrow, after they have attended church, they will be as cheerful as possible, but the next day their joy is gone. Beware, my dear Christian friends, of living by feeling. John Bunyan puts down Mr. Live by Feeling in the book of Pilgrim's Progress as one of the worst enemies of the town of Mansoul. I think he said he was hanged. I'm afraid he, somehow or other, escaped from the executioner. For I very often meet him, and there is no villain that hates the souls of men and women and causes more sorrow to the people of God than this Mr. Live by Feeling. He that lives by feeling will be happy today and unhappy tomorrow. And if our salvation depended upon our feelings, we would be lost one day and saved another. For they are as fickle as the weather and go up and down like a barometer. We live by faith, and if that faith is weak, bless God that weak faith is faith, and that weak faith is true faith. If you believe in Christ Jesus, though your faith is as small as a mustard seed, it will save you, and it will in time grow into something stronger. A diamond is a diamond, and the smallest fragment of it is of the same nature as that famous 100-carat diamond of India. And he that has only a little faith still has faith. And it is not great faith that is essential to salvation, but faith that links the soul to Christ, and that soul is therefore saved. Instead of mourning so much that your faith is not strong, bless God that you have any faith at all. For if He sees that you despise the faith He has given you, it may be a long time before He gives you more. Prize the little bit of faith, And when he sees that you are so glad and thankful for that little, then he will multiply it and increase it. And your faith will increase even to the full assurance of faith. I think I hear you also add to all this the complaint that your other graces seem to be so small too. Oh, you say, I have so little patience that if I have a little pain, I begin to cry out. I had hoped that I would be able to bear it without murmuring. I have so little courage that I blush if anybody asks me about Christ. I think I could hardly confess him before a half a dozen, much less before the world. I am very weak indeed. Ah, my friend, I don't wonder. I have known some who have been strong because of the numbers of years as a Christian and have still been lacking in that one virtue. But where faith is weak, of course, the rest will be weak. A plant that has a weak root will naturally have a weak stem and then will only produce weak fruit. Your weakness of faith sends a weakness throughout the whole. But for all of this, though you are to seek for more faith and consequently for more grace, for stronger graces, yet do not despise what graces you have. Thank God for them, and pray that the few clusters that are now upon you may be multiplied a thousandfold to the praise and glory of his grace. Thus I have tried to describe those who are passing through the days of small things. But the text says, who despises the day of small things? Well, some have, but there is a great comfort in this. God the Father has not. He has looked upon you, you with little grace and little love and little faith, and he has not despised you. No, God is always near the feeble saint. If I saw a young man walking in the park all alone, I would not at all be astonished, and I would not look around for his father. But I saw today, as I went home, a very tiny little tot playing in the park, a pretty little girl, and I thought, the father or mother are somewhere near. And sure enough, there was the father watching from behind a tree, whom I had not seen. I knew that the little thing was not there all alone. And when I see a little weak child of God, I feel sure that God the Father is near, watching with wakeful eye and tending with gracious care the feebleness of his newborn child. He does not despise you if you are resting on his promise. The humble and contrite have a promise all to themselves in Scripture that he will not despise them. It is another sweet and consoling thought that God the Son does not despise the day of small things. Jesus Christ does not, for you remember this word, he gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. We put that which we prize the most closest to our heart. And this is what Jesus does. Some of us, perhaps, have outgrown the state in which we were lambs. But to ride in that heavenly carriage of the Savior's arms, close to his chest, we might be well content to go back and be lambs again. He does not despise the day of small things. And it is equally comforting to reflect that the Holy Spirit does not despise the day of small things. For it is he who, having planted the mustard seed of faith in the heart, watches over it until it becomes a full-grown tree. It is he who, having seen the newborn child of grace, does nurse and feed and tend it until it develops into a perfect man in Christ Jesus. The blessed Godhead does not despise the weak believer. O weak believer, be consoled by all of this. Who is it then that may despise the day of small things? Perhaps Satan has told you and whispered in your ear that such little grace as yours is not worth having. that such an insignificant plant as you will surely be rooted up. Now let me tell you that Satan is a liar, for he himself does not despise the day of small things. And I am sure of that, because he always attacks those who are just coming to Christ. As soon as he sees that the soul is a little wounded by conviction, as soon as he discovers that a heart begins to pray, he will assault it with the fiercest temptations ever. I have known him to try to drive these of little faith to suicide, or to lead them into a worse sin than they have ever committed before. He trembles when he sees the weakest saint upon his knees. He may tell you that the little grace in you is of no account, but he knows very well that it is like the grain that sways on top of the hill, which is only a fragment of the grain that abounds throughout the land. He knows it is the little grace in the heart that overthrows his kingdom. Ah, you say, but I have been greatly troubled lately, because I have many friends that despise me. Because though I can hardly claim I am a believer, yet I have some desire towards God. What sort of friends are these? Are they worldly friends? Oh, do not fret about what they say. It would never trouble me if I were an artist, if a blind man were to utter the sharpest criticisms of my works. What does he know about it? And when an ungodly person begins to say about your faithfulness that it is deficient and faulty, poor soul, let him say what he will. It need not affect you. Ah, but you say, the persons that seem to despise me and reject my company and tell me that I am not a child of God are, I believe, Christians. Well then, do two things. First, take what they say to you and ponder it in your heart, because it may be, if God's children do not see in you the marks of a child of God, perhaps you are not his child. Let it lead you to an examination. Oh, dear friends, it is very easy to be self-deceived, and God may employ, perhaps, one of his servants to enlighten you on this and deliver you from a strong delusion. But on the other hand, if you really do trust in your Savior, if you have begun to pray, if you have some love to God, and any Christian treats you harshly, as if he thought you were a hypocrite, forgive him. Bear it. He has made a mistake. He would not do so if he knew you better. Say within yourself, after all, if my brother does not know me, it is enough if my father does. If my father loves me, though my brother gives me the cold shoulder, I will be sorry for it, but it shall not break my heart. I will cling all the closer to my Lord because his servants seem shy of me. Why, is it not a wonder that some Christians should be afraid of some of you converts? For think what you used to be just a little while ago. Why, a mother hears her son say he is converted. A month or two ago, she knew where he spent his evenings and what his habits of sin were. And though she hopes it is true, she is afraid lest she should lead him into presumption. And she rejoices with trembling, and perhaps tells him more about her trembling than she does about her rejoicing. Why, remember that the saints of old could not believe that Saul was converted at first. He was brought into the church meeting and received. I guess that before he came and saw the elders, one of the elders would say, "Well, the young man seems to know something of the grace of God. There is certainly a change in him, but it is a remarkable thing that he should wish to join the very people he was persecuting. Perhaps it is a mere impulse. It may be, after all, that he will go back to his old companions." Do you wonder that they would think this way? I don't. I am not at all surprised. I am sorry when there are unjust suspicions. I am sorry when a genuine child of God is questioned. But I would not have you be too concerned. As I have said before, if your father knows you, you need not be so broken in heart, because your brother does not. Be glad that God does not despise the day of small things. And now let me say to you who are in this state of small things, that I earnestly trust that you will not yourselves despise the day of small things. How can we do that, you say? Why, you can do it by desponding. Why, I think that there was a time when you would have been ready to leap for joy if you had been told that you would have given to you a little faith. And now you have got a little faith. Instead of rejoicing, you are sighing and moaning and mourning. Do not do that. Be thankful for moonlight, and you will eventually get sunlight. Be thankful for sunlight, and you will get that light of heaven, which is as bright as the light of 7 days all put together. Do not despond, for it will seem that you despise the mercy which God has given you. Be glad for what you have got. Don't seem to despise what has been done for you. I say to every Christian here, while you long after strength, don't seem to despise the grace that God has bestowed, but rejoice and bless His name. Another way that you can despise the day of small things is by not seeking after more. That is strange, you say. Well, a man who has got a little of something and does not want to get more of it, well, it looks as if he despised the little he has. He who has a little light and does not ask for more light does not care for the light at all. You that have a little faith and do not want more faith do not value faith at all. You are despising it. On the one hand, do not become disheartened because you have the day of small things. But on the other hand, do not stand still and be satisfied with what you have. But prove your value of the little by earnestly seeking after more grace. Do not despise the grace that God has given you, but bless God for it, and do this in the presence of His people. If you hold your tongue about your grace and never let anyone know, surely it must be because you do not think it is worth saying anything about. Tell your brothers, tell your sisters, and all those of the Lord's family that the Lord has done gracious things for you, and then it will be seen that you do not despise His grace. And now let us consider a thought or two about these small things in weak believers. Always remember that little faith is saving faith, and that the day of small things is a day of safe things. Remember that it is natural that living things should begin small. The man is first a baby. The daylight begins first as twilight. It is little by little that we come to the stature of men in Christ Jesus. The day of small things is not only natural, but promising. Small things are living things. Leave them alone, and they grow. The day of small things has its beauty and its excellence. I have known some who in later years would have liked to have gone back to their first days. Oh, many of us remember when we would have surmounted any obstacle just to hear a sermon. We did not have much knowledge, but oh, how we longed to know more. We stood in the aisles then, and we never got tired. Now we need soft seats in very comfortable places, and the atmosphere must be neither too hot nor too cold. Perhaps we are getting too refined now. But in those first young days of spiritual life, what appetites we had for divine truth, and what zeal, what sacred fire was in our heart. True, some of it was wildfire, and perhaps the energy of the flesh mingled with the power of the Spirit. But for all of that, God remembers the love of our wedding day, when we wedded Christ, and we remember it too. The mother loves her grown-up son, But sometimes she thinks she does not love him as she did when she could cuddle him in her arms. Oh, the beauty of a little child. Oh, the beauty of a lamb in the faith. I dare say the farmer and the butcher like the sheep better than the lambs. But the lambs are best to look at. It is also like the rosebud. There is a charm about it that there is not in the full-blown rose. And so in the day of small things, there is a special excellence that we ought not to despise. Besides, small as grace may be in the heart, it is divine. It is a spark from the ever-blazing sun. Whoever has even a little living faith in Christ, that faith is of the divine nature. And being divine, it is immortal. All the devils in hell could not quench the feeblest spark of grace that ever dropped into the heart of man. If God has given you faith as small as a mustard seed, it will survive though all earth and hell, all time and eternity, try to destroy it. So there are many reasons why we should not despise the day of small things. One more word and I will leave this point. You Christians, don't despise anybody, but especially don't despise any in whom you see even a little love towards Christ. But do more. Look after them. Look after the little ones. I have heard of a shepherd who had a remarkably fine flock of sheep, and he knew a secret about them. He was often asked how it was that his flock seemed to excel so much more than all other flocks. At last he told the secret. I give my principal attention to the lambs. Now you elders of the church, and you my older sisters, you that know the Lord and have known him for years, visit the lambs, search them out, and take special care of them. And if they are well nurtured in their early days, they will get a strength of spiritual constitution that will make them the joy of the good shepherd during the rest of their days. Now I leave that point. In the second place, I said that I would address a word or two to feeble workers, to feeble workers. Thank God there are many workers here tonight. And maybe they will put themselves down as feeble. May the words I utter be an encouragement to them and to feeble workers collectively. When a church begins, it is usually small. And the day of small things is a time of considerable anxiety and fear. I may be addressing some who are members of a newly organized church. Dear brethren, do not despise the day of small things. Rest assured that God does not save by numbers, and that results are not in the spiritual kingdom in proportion to numbers. I have been reading lately with considerable care the life of John Wesley by two or three different authors in order to get as well as I could a fair idea of the good man. But one thing I have noticed, that the beginnings of the work which has become so wonderfully large were very small indeed. Mr. Wesley and his first brethren were not rich people. Nearly all that joined him were poor. Here and there there was a person of some standing, but the Methodists were the poor of the land. And his first preachers were not men of education. One or two were so, but the most were good outdoor preachers, practical preachers, magnificent preachers as God made them by his Spirit. But they were not men who had the benefit of college training, or who were remarkable for their ability. The Methodists had neither money nor eminent men at first, and their numbers were very few. During the whole life of that good man, which was protracted for so many years, the denomination did not attain any notable size. They were few and apparently feeble, but Methodism was never so glorious as it was at first, and there never were so many conversions, I believe, as in those early days. Now I speak sorrowfully. It is a great denomination. It abounds in wealth, and I'm glad that it does. It has mighty orators. I rejoice it has. But it has no increase. It has no conversions. This year and other years, it remains stationary. And it is not alone in this dilemma. For almost all other denominations have the same tale. Year by year, as the reports come in, it is always the same. No increase, hardly holding our ground. I use that as an illustration here. This church, our church, will get in precisely the same condition if we do not watch out. Exactly the same state. When we do not have the means, we get the blessing. And when we seem to have the might and power, then the blessing does not come. Oh, may God send us poverty. May God send us lack of means and take away our power of speech, if it must be, and help us only to stammer if this is the only way to get the blessing. Oh, I crave to be useful to souls, and all the rest may go where it will. And each church must crave the same, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Instead of despising the day of small things, we ought to be encouraged. It is by the small things that God seems to work, but the great things he does not often use. He won't have Gideon's great host. Let them go to their homes. Let the mass of them go. Bring them down to the water. Pick out only the men that lap the water. And then there is very few. You can count them almost on your fingertips, just 200 or 300 men. Then Gideon shall go out against the Midianites, and the sound of the sword of the Lord and of Gideon in the dead of the night shall make the enemy tremble, and the Lord God himself shall gain the victory. Brethren, never mind your feebleness, your fewness of number, your poverty, your lack of ability. Throw your souls into God's cause. Pray mightily. Grab hold of the gates of heaven. Stir heaven and earth rather than be defeated in winning souls, and you will see results that will astonish you. Who despises the day of small things? Now take the case of each Christian individually. Each one of us ought to be at work for Christ, but the great mass of us cannot do great things. Don't despise then the day of little things. You can only give a penny. Now then, he that sat near the treasury did not despise the widow's 2 small copper coins, worth only a fraction of a penny. Your little thank offering, if given from your heart, is as acceptable as if it had been 100 times as much. Therefore, do not neglect to do the little. Don't despise the day of small things. You can only give away a tract in the street. Don't say, I won't do that. Souls have been saved by the distribution of tracts and sermons. Scatter them. Scatter them. They will be good seed. You do not know where they may fall. Sometimes all you can do is to write a letter to a friend about Christ. Don't neglect to do it. Write one tomorrow. Remember a playmate of yours from years past. You may take liberties with him about his soul from your previous intimacy with him. Write to him about the state of his soul before God and urge him to seek the Savior. Who knows, a sermon may miss him, but a letter from the well-known school companion will reach his heart. Mother, it is only 2 or 3 little children at home that you have an influence over. Do not despise the day of small things. Take them tomorrow. Put your arms around them as they kneel by you. Pray, God bless my boys and girls and save them. Tell them of Christ now. Oh, how well can mothers preach to children. I can never forget my mother's teaching. On Sunday nights when we were at home, she would have us sit around the table and explain the scriptures as we read, and then pray. And one night, she left an impression upon my mind that never will be erased when she said this, "I have told you, my dear children, the way of salvation, and if you perish, you will perish justly. I will have to say amen to your condemnation when you are condemned." And I could not bear that thought. Anybody else may say amen, but not my mother. Oh, you don't know, you that have to deal with children, what you may do. Do not despise these little opportunities. Put a word in for Christ. You that travel about, you that go into offices and factories. If Christians were men who were always true to their colors, I think we should soon see a vast change come over our great establishments. Speak up for Jesus. Do not be ashamed of him. And because you can only say a little, don't refuse. Don't refuse, therefore, to say that, but rather say it over 20 times. So make the little into much. Again and again and again repeat the feeble stroke, and there shall come to be as much result from it as from one tremendous blow. God accepts your little works as if they were done in faith to his dear Son. God will give success to your little works. God will educate you by your little works to do greater works. And your little works may call out others who shall do greater works by far than you shall ever be able to accomplish. Evangelist, go on preaching at the street corner. You that visit the slums and the ghettos, keep on. Get into the homes and talk of Jesus Christ. You that go into the country towns on Sunday and speak on the village greens, you that speak of Christ, continue on with it. We don't want to keep the salt in one box. Let it be rubbed into the putrid mass to stop the putrefaction. We don't want the seed to stay forever in the corn bin. Let it be scattered and it will give us more. Oh, brothers and sisters, wake up if any of you are asleep. Don't let an ounce of strength in this church be wasted, not a single grain of ability, either in the way of doing or praying or giving or holy living. Spend and be spent, for who has despised the day of small things? The Lord encourage weak believers, and the Lord accept the efforts of feeble workers, and send to both his richest blessings for Christ's sake. Amen.